Hello, hatlings, haberdashers, and assorted hard hats. This is Tony, and welcome to episode 44 of the Magical Talking Hat podcast. Now, you may notice things are a little different. At the moment, it's just me, there's no intro music. Well, I'm just prepping you for what's going on. It is January 12th, and winter has finally caught up with Iowa City. We got snow all day long. It technically stopped for now, but it's going to start again soon, and it's blowing everywhere, and it's all crazy, and it's going to be 6 degrees tonight, and we got winter weather advisories up the wazoo. So, William cannot successfully make it over here tonight to record the podcast. But fear not, for we have prepared for this contingency with the mystery episode. It was recorded in the past. Sometime. You don't know when. We're not sure either. But anyway, you'll still have an hour's worth of new content that you can disregard after it's done. So enjoy episode 44, the mystery episode.
In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hat.
Okay, so nobody knows what day it is.
Nobody knows.
Okay, we don't really know what time.
No.
We're somewhere in space.
Yep.
So welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast that is all places and no places at once. I say that because this is episode ? This is the mystery episode. Now, by the time you hear this, you will probably know what episode number it is. But right now, we're in some mysterious limbo. Because this is the episode that means we couldn't record for some reason.
And who knows why?
Secret. There could be all sorts of reasons involving all sorts of things that we can't name, because some of them might not even have existed before a certain point. And if we mention them, then you'll know they exist. And then you'll have a part of a timeline.
Actually, this podcast you're listening to right now, it existed and it didn't exist until you pressed the play button.
Oh, Schrodinger's podcast.
Then, you know, either it worked or it didn't. And I guess it worked for you because you
apparently
hear
you're
it
hearing it. If you're not hearing it, then I apologize.
Then the person, then you in
the
an
podcast is dead.
Then you in an alternate universe is listening to it.
Yes.
So they're having a good time. You can,
but
or a bad time, as the case may be.
Once the podcast has been observed. Decrease, collapse the wave.
Yep.
Anyway, I'm Tony.
And I'm William.
And, you know, every time we say that, I have this urge. You remember the show Family Ties?
Yes.
Do you remember what the father did for a living on that show?
No.
He worked for a public television station.
Oh, I see.
Called WKS. And there was an episode, it might even have been a two-part episode, that involved their annual fundraising telethon.
Oh, yeah.
And the family got involved. And the old standby, apparently, was that they would all, he'd bring out his family and they'd all introduce, and they're like, I'm Alex, and I'm
Mallory,
and I'm Jennifer. And we're all proud to be part of WKS family. So every time I say, I'm Tony, and you say, I'm William, I'm like, and we're all proud to be part of WKS family. And we're all proud to be part of the Magical Talking Hat. The producers in the background there.
Family.
Doing stuff. Magical Talking Hat family.
Yes. Don't forget the family part.
If you would like to be part of the family,
yes,
you should write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Write the hat with what we should talk about. Keep it sparse. 140 characters or so, maybe. Maybe even less. You can write more than one thing. Or you could write more than one email with more than one thing, or with one thing, or things. The sentence got away from me a little bit there. Also, go to the blog, see what we're doing there, talk about what we've done, and what we will do at themagicaltalkinghat.com. Alright, so, did interesting things happen to you today, William? Why, yes, me too, but we're not going to talk about them.
We could
talk. The weather sure is... as it would be for this time of year.
Yes.
And except for that one thing that's a little different, you know? It's not quite, yeah, mysterious. It was odd. Yeah. I would have expected at this time of year it would be more the other way.
Exactly.
But it's not. So there.
And why did that happen? We just don't know.
I don't know. It's unseasonable for this season that we are in. Yeah.
You know, it's...
good seasoning.
It could be that... if we don't have a reason to play this episode, nobody will ever hear it.
Oh, the people whose questions we draw are going to be so pissed off.
I know.
No, at a certain point, I think they have like sell-by dates.
Okay.
At a certain point, we're like, we have to post this episode or it will spoil.
Okay.
So.
I guess we can just get right to it then.
We really should, because otherwise... we're going to do something that's going to put us in a time and space. And
well, I did think if we were going to talk about something, we could talk about something mysterious. Like, we could give our respective opinions about, you know, UFOs or something.
I talked about family ties. That was the best I could
do. Yeah, okay.
That's mysterious.
Huh.
What?
Bloodsparrow says, your topic
Bloodsparrow.
For discussion today, I really hope we play this because...
because it's a good discussion
I
topic?
Think so.
Okay.
You might not think so, but... your topic for discussion today is hobos and hobo culture.
Oh, hobos and hobo culture.
That's awesome.
For a while, the producer and I had a plan for retirement that involved being hobos.
Well, you know, actually, there's a big gathering of hobos every year.
Oh, yes.
In Iowa.
I think I had to read about it one time.
In
Brit,
yeah, it's one of my books. In Brit. And so I got to know a little bit about hobos when I was writing that book.
Is that in Harbingers?
Mm-hmm.
They go hang out with the hobo people?
Mm-hmm. The interesting thing about hobos is...
I think that is where I learned most about hobos, is from your damn book.
The interesting thing...
well, this becomes way too inbred.
And we mentioned hobos in a previous episode, I believe, but... I suppose we should be careful talking about previous episodes.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Well, they know the
now
podcast
they're
going to
know it's post the episode that we mentioned hobos.
Oh,
I'm
crap.
Not sure we actually ever did.
I think we did. Anyway, the thing about hobos is that the main thing that a hobo would say is important to know about hobos is that they are not bums.
No.
They are what... originally, they were mostly migrant workers. They do pick up work here and there. They normally do like to work for whatever they get. It's not that they won't take handouts sometimes, but for the most part, they are supposed to. They work. That's why they're traveling, because they're looking for work. And some people, there's some debate over where the name hobos comes from. Some people think it comes from ho boys because they were migrant workers and they worked in the farms, but people don't really agree on that. But
yeah, it's much closer to Europe has similar cultures. Travelers, gypsies, pikies.
I suppose that kind of thing.
That kind of thing. People who intentionally are not settled.
Right. But they do work. Or they, you know, they want to work. They just don't have a, you know, a 9-to-5 job like the rest of us. In the United States, hobos have generally been associated with trains, you know, getting around that way, hopping on a train and taking a free train ride to a particular place. And that's still a big part of the culture. Another interesting thing about hobo culture is that Back in the day, I don't know if it's so much true now, but back in the day, they used to have little symbols they'd put on, you know, in the train yards. You might see some symbols on signs or
outside somebody's house.
Yeah, or outside somebody's house to say.
See, I didn't learn most of my hobo stuff from your book. I learned most of my hobo stuff from The Simpsons.
Okay. The symbols that will tell you, okay, you can get a meal at this house.
Good food.
There's a dog here.
Attractive daughter of the owner.
Well, I don't know if that one's.
Mass hobo grave in the backyard.
No.
That's what The Simpsons said.
No.
Simpsons also had the great hobo who was just traveling around the country swapping stories for sponge baths.
Okay, well, most of these symbols had to do with getting a meal or avoiding a house if people were mean there. Or, you know, like if wherever the police officer lived, you may wanted to make sure you had a little mark on the fence or on a pole somewhere so you'd know to avoid that guy's house. That kind of thing. And that's sort of interesting. A lot of this stuff you can find online, by the way, if you want to look it up.
So stop listening and go
and see some stuff. Well,
just
I can't
go to Wikipedia.
I can't describe
this.
Why do
you listen to us when you have Wikipedia? I figured out if you, like, died or something and I had to do this by myself, I think I would just have people email in Wikipedia entries and I would just read them and talk about it.
If I died.
It'd be pretty much the same effect.
It's funny you should say that, because what if this airs because something happens to me? And I'm like
then,
speaking to everyone
from the
grave. Ladies
and gentlemen, I would like to introduce my new podcast format in which you write in and I look up Wikipedia entries.
Just in case you're listening to this because I'm no longer with you.
Woo! Are you going to do your last will and testament?
On the podcast?
Right now.
No.
Apparently you're dead.
Oh. Well, I can't do it then. You know, this is going to be really weird if I do die. You're going to be freaked out.
I don't know if I'll post this if you actually die. You know? People say I have no shame and no sense of decorum. I might, if you actually die, I might not post the podcast episode in which we joke about how you died and I post the podcast episode.
Okay.
I also might, though, because I'm a dick.
Yeah, well.
So.
It's not like I'll mind. I'll be gone.
What are you going to do? Haunt me?
But if you're ever interested in hanging out with the hobos, it's usually in August that they have their get-together in Britt. There is a section of the cemetery there in Britt that's, like, dedicated to the hobos. There's a big cross that's made out of railroad ties and everything.
Wow. There.
But, you know, a few things that a hobo encampment is called a jungle.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
I don't know if people knew that.
Hobo jungle?
Mm-hmm. And in these days, it's I think it involves a lot of, you know, plastic tarp and sticks.
Aren't there
and,
a fair number of, like, part-time hobos?
No, certainly. People who do it sort of for a hobby.
That's their vacation.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. That's right. And in Brit, they'll have a they crown a king of the hobos and a queen, I think, too. And the crown is like a Folgers coffee can that's got cut out so it looks like a crown. And you just stand up and give a little speech or something, and whoever gets the most applause wins.
Is it becoming too self-referential, though, at this point? Does it become silly? Oh, your queen, the hobo pageant, you know?
Well, when you go there, there are people there who are, you know, old enough where you can, I don't know if you could say they were hobos back in the day, but they knew people who were, or they remember that era.
But we're hitting a point where it's just going to be hobo remembrance.
Yeah, that's right. Or even the oldest people.
Hobo reenactment.
Yeah, basically. Even the oldest people, you know, they ride the rails and they're not settled and they do that kind of work still, but they don't, they didn't live or know anyone who lived in the time where the hobos started, which is kind of in the Depression, obviously.
The time of hobos. And then leading scientists found trapped in amber the DNA of the original hobos, and they reconstructed them and created hobo jungle.
Now, listen, does it seem to you that talk about hobos is sort of something that people are doing now in a weird way? Like,
we're doing it right
now. Well, exactly. So it seemed like you'd never heard about it.
It's not like a memory.
No.
Literally.
I'm saying like in popular culture.
No.
No? You don't think it's kind
of
a thing?
That
but
up.
You saw it in The Simpsons recently.
Not recently.
Oh, that's an old episode.
One of those episodes is at least 10 years
okay,
old.
Okay.
The other one, I'm guessing, about 6.
Okay.
I haven't seen the most recent Simpsons, hardly.
I wonder why she's asking this then. Well, that's all right. We always like to hear from Blood Sparrow.
Is intrigued by your hillbilly past. Or maybe she actually picked up Harbingers. Who knows?
Maybe. Who knows? But I think
I hear she can read.
I think the hobo thing's pretty interesting. So, and I've often been mistaken for one because of how I dress.
And your lack of hygiene.
Yeah. mostly by
and you're always swapping stories for sponge baths.
Mostly by my family. I'll show up. And
it does not count if your family thinks you're a hobo.
They'll think I'm a hobo, and then it's you. Okay, well, hey, welcome.
William.
Cut your hair and shave next time.
William, I don't think they were really confused.
They acted confused.
No. I think they're just trying to, tell you.
There was a gun and everything.
No. That's just a really forceful way to tell you they think you're gross.
Okay.
Sorry to break this to you.
Well, I thought they were serious. They
looked No.
They looked serious.
Yeah, they don't like you.
They shot the gun and everything. I mean, they missed.
We're opening up a whole different issue usually, here, but trust me, they did not think you were really a
And
hobo.
Usually they don't miss, so you're probably right about that.
Nice. All right, should we do another one?
Yep.
Oh, God.
Hobos are awesome.
We should make this a short episode.
We should, but let's not say why.
We should make this a short episode because we didn't talk about other stuff. It's just all questions.
Oh, well. But I like that. That's my favorite part. That's their favorite part. Trust
I know.
Me. They don't want to hear us go on and on about our week.
I don't know about
what
that.
Movies
Whoa!
We saw.
This is an interesting evening. Blood Sparrow again.
Wow.
Baby.
What?
Great! Now it's nighttime. Good job.
Well,
we already gave away that it's in a time after family ties, so we already kind of blew it.
I've heard about this new steam engine. As some of you may or may not have heard the producer, yes, I guess I gave away that it's evening.
It is evening.
So.
Oh, well.
Fuck all y'all. Anyway, Blood Sparrow asks, what was your first pet? What did you name it, and why?
Well, I believe our first pet on the farm that I remember was a German Shepherd, and it was named Sam, but we didn't name it. It was already named Sam.
Tattooed onto its ass.
No, it wasn't a puppy anymore. Someone else had it and called it Sam.
I just learned German Shepherds didn't become a thing over here until they were brought back from World War II.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. They were found in Germany, and everybody's like, oh, we found this free dog. Check them out.
And
aren't they awesome?
And they were great at science, so they brought them over to work on them.
Exactly.
Work on the bomb.
No, this is after the war.
Well,
soldiers brought them back.
Well, they did bring German scientists over after the war.
How would you know?
Stuff. Oh, no comment. Maybe they came up from South America.
Now here, see, in my mind, there's two aspects to this. Well, obviously there are two parts to the question, but the question is asked in two contexts here. The first pet, your first family pet when you were a kid, but then there's the first one that you intentionally got yourself, named yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's a very different thing.
Well, I've never had. I don't think
you
that's
just had the family.
Well, I take that back.
In a cage or some shit like that.
No, except for a frog. I had, but those were given to me as gifts. But anyway, I did name them.
What did you name them?
Mort and Lily.
Why?
Let's see.
Lily, I assume, is lily pad.
No, it was short for Lilith.
Okay.
And why we named her Lilith, I'm not sure. Just a cool name, you know, and a cool. Lilith is a cool, interesting, mythic character. But Mort, I guess, because of Lilith, just Mortimer, and we're going to call him Mort for short, and Mort, that's death, you know, so it seemed like a cool little thing to do, Mort and Lilith. But Mort, following his name, died shortly thereafter.
Why the hell did you name him that then?
Well, we didn't think that it was like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Power.
We didn't know when we named him Death he'd die.
We hereby name you soon-to-be-dead frog.
Kind of, that's what we named him, and then he died, you know, shortly thereafter, and we noticed because...
And you're like, I have magic.
We noticed because Mort was, he was on the, you know, he was on the bottom of the tank, which he usually is, but Lilith was, like, taking little bites out of him, and he...
Oh, man!
And he wasn't moving away, like he would normally do when she tried to take little bites
out
of him.
He looked like he was into it, and then, yeah.
So he was dead. And Lily lasted quite a bit longer, and then...
Yeah, fed on the blood of her...
But then I would put food in there, and she wouldn't show up, and after maybe a week or so, we realized she was somewhere in there.
She had left?
No, she... I don't know what happened. We finally cleaned out, you know, the tank and found her remains, but we don't know how she got to where she got.
It'd be way cooler if you never found a body.
No, we found something later. I think what happened was after... Like I said, it took a while because she would hide, you know, so it wasn't that unusual not to see her. And then after a week, we realized, well, she's probably not still hiding. But I think she started to, you know, fall apart and maybe went through the filter a little bit, pieces of her. So when we finally cleaned it out, she wasn't all in one piece. It's pretty sad, really.
That's a horrible story.
I know. Why did I even tell everybody? The first opportunity we had on the farm to name a pet that didn't have a name was we found a little cat.
Yes.
And that became our house cat. But we had just called her Kitty. So, not very...
You come from incredibly uncreative stock, don't you?
And then we had a dog. We had a chance to name the dog, and we just named it Pup. So...
Seriously, what the hell is wrong with
you? So I think from now on, if I buy pets, I'm going to make sure they already have names.
My neighbor... My best friend at the time, he got a new cat, and we were waiting. He was waiting to name it. He wanted something that really suited its personality. You know, so he was working on this. And I actually suggested Tila, because at the time we were big into He-Man, and she was real, like, feisty.
Okay.
And I thought that would be good.
Tila was feisty.
Yeah, exactly. You know, well, it was like a fighter, you know. And I was a kid. I was into He-Man. It was the only woman I knew. So either that or name your cat Evil Lynn, you know, which would have been weird. But he wanted, you know, he wanted to pick it based on her personality and all this stuff. And you know what ended up calling that cat?
No.
Stripey.
Hmm.
The fuck is wrong with that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We were very bad at, I mean, of course, the cat, we called it Kitty because that's, you know, kitty, kitty, kitty. That's what you say when you want the cats to come. So we never really named it at all.
Yours is terrible, but at least it is utilitarian. And... Full disclosure, Stripey was very striped of fur. And had a very striped personality.
I guess. Yeah. So what was your first pet, and what did you name it?
Well, growing up, we had two. We had a dog named Molly, who was supposedly a Sheltie Beagle mix. She came off kind of looking like a fluffy sort of terrier. I don't know. But her name was Molly. And then we had a cat whose name was Mitsunai. And this is actually based off of a parody song called Tell Fate Yunagi I Love Her. It's based off of the old tune Tell Laura I Love Her.
Mm.
It was on an album by a Hawaiian comedian named Rap Replinger.
God.
And it was a version of the song.
This is all so obscure.
I know. And I didn't know this when I was little, because my parents did it. But in the song, his chief rival is named Mitsunai. And so that's what we called her. We called her we called him Mitsunai, or Mits, or Mitzi for short. But Mitsunai was his actual name.
I see.
I had fish... At various points when I was
younger. Yeah, we did too, but we never named them.
I named them all. I have no idea what I named them anymore.
Yeah,
I forgot
we had fish, but that was when we were really young, and my youngest brother put the laundry in the bowl, and they all died, so.
Yeah, see, we had particularly alkaline water, which we didn't realize until we went through several fish.
Hmm.
But... My first pet, I've only had one pet that was, well, okay, technically two now, but my first one was after I got together with the producer, and we were visiting the in-laws, and one of the cats, the in-laws, my mother-in-law fed a lot of stray cats in the backyard. And they frequently bred and bred and bred, and some of the cats would live there, and some of the cats would get adopted, and occasionally a cat would come inside and live with them. But one cat had a litter, and we went to go play with them, and I'm allergic to cats, moderately. We discovered this when I was about 12. But there was one that I just fell in love with. He had these big, bright green eyes, and he was a pain in the ass. And in fact, what they named him at the time was
Tony.
Sir Hiss-a-Lot. Because okay. He would actually.
I thought they named him Tony.
No. and I fell in love with him, and I ended up adopting him.
Sir Hiss-a-Lot?
Yes, but that's not what I named him.
But his first name was Anthony, right?
No.
Anthony Hiss-a-Lot.
No.
That'd be a good name for you, like a stage name.
That is my name.
Oh.
I named him Twiglet.
And why did you name him Twiglet?
There were two main reasons for this. One was I thought it was clever and cute and different because a Twiglet is a snack food available in the United Kingdom. They're called Twiglets and because they look like little twigs, but they're little just munchy things you eat. Kind of like Cheetos without the cheese. They're sort of somewhere between like a cheese curl and a pretzel or something. There, I don't know. I like them.
Okay.
But also, he was very much a smaller version of a cat Trish already had named Tigger. And Twiglet sounded a little bit like Tigger and a little bit like Piglet,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
who was like another one. So I thought it was all sort of in keeping.
Mm-hmm.
With that, the only difficulty we found with that name over the years is when you aren't. I am enunciating very carefully right now for the podcast. I don't always do that, and people frequently think I named my cat Toilet, which I did not. But if you say Twiglet fast enough, and people aren't paying attention, and you say Twiglet, and you keep saying, "Oh, the Twiglet went by," eventually they're like, "Are you saying Toilet?" I say no. afterwards, the only other one was when Tigger died.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just had two cats, Gray Boy, that was Trish's cat, and Twiglet, that was mine. And then eventually, because the producer and her sister liked to go to the pet store and look at the kitties, she found one that she fell in love with. And I went there too, and I said, okay, we can get her. And we got her. We brought her home. And she doesn't have green eyes, but we decided to name her Esmeralda. Ezzy for short.
And the rest, as they say,
is a tragic, tragic history of torment and terror.
And upstaging
us. On the high seas.
And upstaging us on the podcast.
Oh, and making people think I abused my wife. Today at work, people are like, how'd you get those scratches? And she's like, oh, it's Ezzy. And they're like, okay, I was worried Tony was there. I'm like, no, it's the damn cat. It's always a damn cat.
Well, maybe you should change your name to something else besides Hiss-a-Lot. That's probably throwing people off.
Yeah, it doesn't make things people, yeah. Well, that's the funny thing, too. Like, generally speaking, the cats, like, Twiglet is Twiglet Parsons, because me.
Okay.
And the others actually had their own names, but when we got Ezzy, the way we had set it up, and we were going to do this with kids, too, because we have separate last names, mm-hmm. is the girls would have Trish's last name, and the boys would have my last name. So we get Ezzy, and at one point I find out Trish named her Ezzy Parsons. and I didn't know why.
And then the rest of us know.
No, it's not because she's evil. It's not because she's evil. I'd be more proud of that.
Oh, okay.
Because when she named her all at once. First, middle, last name.
Mm-hmm.
And the full name is Esmeralda Stinky Butt Parsons. And it's not wrong. It's true. She has a very stinky butt. But because of that, the producer decided that she was definitely a parson.
Okay.
Seriously, I have never known cats to really, like, fart. And you don't hear it, But if she's like on your lap or something, oh my God. It's, oh God, it's awful.
Well, it still sounds like she was named Parsons because she's evil. Just
in a very specific gastrointestinal way.
Exactly.
Full of gastrointestinal evil.
Oh, well. I suppose that answers her question.
Okay.
Two for Blitzbarrel tonight. Wow. Mm. See if I can get another one.
Make it a threefer.
The questions from Bloodsparrow that no one will ever hear.
Yes.
Well, this doesn't have a signature on it.
Then we'll assume it's from her.
Okay. Dear the Magical Talking Hat.
Yes. That was just me, guys. Don't worry. The hat still doesn't talk. I just said that. Don't be scared. I know people at home are like, holy shit, the hat just talked. No, it was me. It's Tony. Don't worry. Hat doesn't talk.
You didn't even disguise your voice or anything.
No, but you know, still, you said it.
I know.
Like people get really into this.
That's right. So, that's right. How can someone tell when it is time to clean the bathroom?
In my experience, people frequently can't. I don't think it's a thing you can do.
You can like, kind of schedule it, don't you?
That's what I'm thinking. Once a week, you either have to have a schedule. Or if you are going to wait until you think it's time or until it looks or smells like it's time, you're waiting too long.
Yeah, probably. That's right.
That being said, I wait too long. Mm. But I don't... how often do you clean your bathroom?
I don't even want to say.
Oh.
It's not as often as I should.
I, for some reason,
I'm the only person that uses it, you know, so it...
Yeah.
A lot of times...
So still you get sick of it, yeah.
Basically.
We get in trouble with the shower. Because we don't want to bother. And it's not as noticeable. Mm. As like the sink, you know, is really easy. And the toilet. And I don't clean the toilet as often as I should. And it's ridiculous. Because you know how long it takes me to seriously clean the crap out of that toilet? Pardon the expression. Clean the hell out of that toilet? Maybe 5 minutes.
I know.
Maybe.
Exactly. It doesn't take long
at
all.
And we have one of those cool things that it actually is a snap off lid, so it's really easy to take off, and then you can scrub everything, you're not getting around it. And it's so simple, and I just don't do it very much, and it's sad. But the shower we're bad about, and to the degree that for a while at least we had shower curtains and they'd get gross, and rather than clean them when they got gross enough, we just throw them out and buy a new one because we're Americans, damn it, and that's what Americans do. But I think once a week, well, for the whole bathroom. At least once every 2 or 3 weeks is what you should do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I tend to go by presidential administrations in terms, not just once a president, but I mean I measure it in terms of X number of times per presidential administration. Yeah, right. Yeah, but see, yeah, you're the only person who uses your bathroom, so as long as you can live with it, you know, who the hell cares?
Well, I've been thinking of maybe. I think the problem for me is psychologically, I think of cleaning the bathroom.
You can just do pieces.
Yeah, I could just do this. That's not going to take very long. And then, you know, a week later, maybe do this or whatever. And that would be probably adequate.
Supposedly, the really good one that somebody recommended for doing the shower and everything is you take a spray bottle and you fill it with bleach water.
Mm-hmm.
And every time somebody's done, like, showering or whatever, just sort of spritz around it.
Mm.
And don't do anything else. Just spritz around it. And keep that up every time you use it. Just quickly spray it down.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be good, but I haven't done it.
Yeah, there are probably things you can do, like with the shower, like every time you're done or whatever, some quick little thing.
Yeah.
But
well, and they have those things now, like you hang it from the shower head and hit the thing, and it goes
all over the thing, cleans it for you. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought about getting those, and I'm sad because we have cats. And the cats like to drink out of the toilet. We can't use any standing cleaner stuff. We can't use 2,000 flushes or things like that. And I love those. When I was single, I lived off of that damn thing. Mm-hmm. Like, water's blue, water's blue, water's not blue anymore. I'll go buy another one. It was nice and simple. But we can't do that now because then the cats will die.
Well, I know this is a big question for people who live, you know, who have to share a bathroom because invariably in the kitchen this works this way too. Invariably one person is bothered by it before the other person is, and so one person ends up doing the work most
and of the some time. People live by that rule. The first person who finds it too gross is the one who has to clean it.
That's just not right.
That's a terrible plan.
Yeah, terrible plan.
Especially, it's not even so bad when there's one person who then suffers for it. What's bad is you get into situations where neither of you is that bothered.
Oh, you're going to hold out.
Yeah. And so then it becomes life. Like, it starts its own little society. Mm-hmm. And like, you walk into the bathroom and they're like, turn out the light, please.
And then they rebel against you.
Exactly. And it's...
it's awful.
It gets very political very quickly.
Yep, yep, sure does.
Don't like that. No. So, don't do that, people.
Yeah.
More often than that. More often than intelligence to form.
I think a good rule, though, about the bathroom is that if you can tell the bathroom's dirty...
bah!
You probably... aren't cleaning it enough.
Yes.
You know, if something, you know, if there's something that develops a stain or whatever, well, then you probably should have been cleaning it more often than that.
Yes.
Before that even happened.
I like your idea of one piece at a time kind of thing.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to start doing that. Yeah. Because, it, like I said, it's just this psychological thing. Well, I don't want to clean the whole bathroom right now. I've got other things to do. But if, like you said, like with the toilet, it's like 5 minutes, you just do it, and then it's done, and then... you know, how long is it going to take maybe just to clean up the sink after I shave one day or whatever?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And then after a while, it just all stays kind of clean.
That's the theory. We're still working on that in the kitchen. That theoretically, if we put in like 15 minutes a day, it stays. We're not doing that. We're getting better about when the dishes have been cleaned, put them away immediately. Mm-hmm. And then when you have dirty dishes, put them in the dishwasher right away.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's helping. But
yeah, that helps at our house too.
But we're not experts at it yet.
Except at our house, I pretty much take care of the dishwasher so that at least one person's doing it. It just wasn't working for
you know,
the last person to put in a dish or whatever. So I said, you know, I'll just do this.
Yeah.
But I do try to have it empty during mealtime so when someone's done, they can rinse their dish and put it in there and they don't have to put it in the sink and then I don't have to deal with it. But so yeah, we've done things like that too.
Okay, new question.
Now I want to go home and clean my bathroom.
You can do that after we're done, unless it's too late, which it might be very late. People don't know.
Well, yeah.
You have to get up in the morning for that thing that happens right around this time every period of time.
That, right.
Yeah, that's 'tis the season for that thing.
Mm-hmm. I hope there's not a crowd. Because there is in that time.
Yes.
Of this time.
Wait, are we still talking about your bathroom?
Maybe.
I hope there's not a crowd.
Like you said, it gets political after a while.
Oh, it's not Blood Sparrow and it's not Anonymous.
Oh.
But I'm not sure which Kia it's from.
Okay.
Dear the Magical Talking Hat, bread, white or wheat? From Kia. I take issue with this. Those are only two options.
Well, and most white bread is wheat, so.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing. There's more options. But she's talking about, you know, what's your sandwich bread, I guess.
Yeah, I've always preferred, when given those two choices, of a hardier wheat or a bleached, washed out, rubbery wheat, I'll take the hardier wheat every time.
So in your house, what is the standard bread?
Well, in our house...
and here it's a gluten-free vegan we don't really, isn't it?
Yeah, we try not to have wheat in the house anymore.
Yeah.
So it's neither. But of course, when we weren't gluten-free there, we didn't get anything like white bread. I mean, we got whole grain, whatever. Yeah.
I grew up with wheat bread.
Yeah, I grew up with the white, like, Wonder Bread.
Yeah, no, see, I didn't. I didn't have that. I would get it if I went to my cousin's. They had white bread and they had heavy sugared cereal, and I loved both of those there. But and they had sugared soda. I also had diet soda. So I grew up with wheat, and then when I was on my own, I could buy white, and I tended to, and I liked it. And every once in a while, my parents would get it for me as a treat growing up. And I enjoy it compared to just wheat, like standard wheat sandwich bread. I like the white bread. Well, it's a very specific kind of thing because it is very soft, incredibly soft.
Well, a lot of the wheat breads they sell are just dark or white bread.
That
they're
the
not
thing.
Even their
yeah.
consistency's not even that different.
Yeah. When, and they also started making a whole grain white bread just a couple years ago. And I started getting that when I was still doing sandwiches and stuff. We don't really keep a lot of bread in the house now. But for a while I was doing it. I just like white bread. I don't know, it's tasty.
I used to if I was playing outside and I wanted a little snack, I'd come in, I'd grab a slice of Wonder Bread, I'd squish it into a ball because you can do that.
Oh yeah, totally.
And then I'd just pop it in my mouth and go outside.
Other
again
people I went to college with that were from other countries, particularly ones in Europe, just hated the state of all American bread because it's all really soft.
Yeah.
Drives them crazy. And we, you know, we'll get other, like, we'll go to the co-op and we'll get bread.
Yeah.
You know, sesame semolina or
yeah,
something
like
something
that. Heavy.
It's got something serious.
Yep, I prefer that kind of stuff.
And I would get, because I can go either way, because I grew up with the wheat bread. And so for a while, when the producer was eating bread too, because the producer won't touch white bread. So then for a while, I was getting that 100% whole wheat, but it's still just the sandwich bread kind of stuff. I don't know. I might get back into it soon. I've been working on a modified sort of low-carb-ish diet. I may alter that some in the near future, depending on how things play out with me potentially getting diabetes.
Oh, no.
Well, I have had it coming for a while, in addition to being huge. Both my parents already got it, so...
Oh. That's too bad.
As that happens, though, I may modify my diet in a different direction, which means bread may show up again. So we'll see.
Yeah, when I was growing up on the farm...
You're on the farm. You should be making your own bread.
Well, we didn't. We got Wonder Bread, and we ate pot roast and fried chicken and green beans and peas. Not corn, because Dad said that was pig's feed. Although I think the kids could eat corn, but he wouldn't eat it. Potatoes, mashed potatoes. The reason I'm giving you this list is because I can give you in a brief period of time everything that my family ate. And I can also tell you what it couldn't have in it. No garlic, no onions, no peppers, no...
No onions?
No any type of seasoning whatsoever except salt and pepper.
Wow.
And maybe margarine for like... Whatever.
Yeah, wow.
So, basically, peanut butter, you know, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Did you get bologna?
Yes.
Because that was the thing. I saw a thing about this.
And hot dogs and hamburgers, naturally.
Oscar Mayer sliced bologna came out, and Wonder Bread was out that was pre-sliced.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a huge revolution in the American household. Because it was an incredibly easy way to give your kid a sandwich for school that was simple and not PB&J.
Well, yeah.
It was a huge thing, and it was like specifically marketed. You take the Wonder Bread, you stick bologna in it, and you put it on, and there you go.
Maybe some mustard.
Yeah.
And that's all the family ate. And to this day, the rest of the family, aside from me, won't eat a lot of other things besides those things. If I weren't a vegetarian, there probably isn't anything I would eat.
You eat all sorts of shit if you don't have political aversion to it.
But I'm the only one in the family, and I don't know why I'm like that, because, you know, everyone, you pretty much like to eat what you're fed, you know?
Yeah.
But somehow when I got to college, I was happy to eat all kinds of new things that we never had when I was growing up, but nobody else in the family even wants to try
anything. Sometimes it changes. Over time... Tastes have changed. The producer's family is very much like this. The producer's family had they were fairly picky eaters and had a fairly narrow window of stuff. Over time, they've all grown something. The producer in particular has really expanded her tastes.
Mm-hmm.
And then things have happened, like we have brought stuff home and things, and we sort of have introduced them to things. And that has helped some. One child in particular is still a very picky eater. And we work hard on her, sort of, and she finds things that she likes.
Well, as spouses entered the family, you know, some things
they brought with it onions.
A little bit.
It sounds like it's like after the Crusades. But they brought exotic spices and roses.
But listen, when I go home,
pepper.
It's pot roast, or you know, for Thanksgiving there's turkey. There might be some baked beans, some green beans, But, I mean, nothing...
But the baked beans have no seasoning except salt and pepper.
No, that's right. And if we bring something...
And pork fat, I suppose.
No. Well, don't you remember my family
didn't
do that?
That's right, no pork. So what do you put in the baked beans?
Nothing. It's just the beans and the syrupy kind
sugar
of
sugar. Yeah.
And you know, if we bring something that we want other people to eat, we can't have onions in it, or we prepared a fruit salad. You know,
a fruit salad,
but she put coconut in it before I had a chance to tell her, oh no, you can't put coconut in it or they won't eat it. And sure enough, nobody ate it except us. Yeah, it's just how
they are. Family's messed up.
Well, yeah, really picky eaters. All of them except me, and I don't know why.
The one child, my sister-in-law, who is still the picky one, through this she has developed a magic power.
Oh, what's that?
She can walk into any restaurant on Earth, and chicken fingers will be on the menu.
Yeah, that's my sister. That's all she'll order at a
restaurant.
But
this is what I'm saying. Places that didn't have chicken fingers. She walks in. We went to Carlos O'Kelly's, which is Mexican. Okay, it's fake Mexican. But still, Mexican. Go in there. And we're like, oh, this is good because she doesn't eat a lot of this, but it's kind of Americanized, so it'll be fine. So we're ordering things. We're like, and the producer's like, you know, oh, the fajitas. You should do the fajitas because it's all just in pieces and you can pick. And she looks and it gets to her to order. She says, oh, I'll have the chicken fingers. And I'm looking at her. I'm like, they don't have chicken fingers here.
Oh, yeah,
and she points, and they do.
Every restaurant has chicken fingers. You know why? Because
of my sister-in-law.
Well, because of her and my sister, and I know tons of people, that is what they order on a menu every place they go.
And I like chicken fingers.
Well, that's why they have them everywhere.
But,
everywhere you go.
Oh, my goodness. It's amazing.
It's like the one thing that just about anyone will eat.
She could go into a restaurant in Morocco, and nobody speak English or anything, but the chicken finger. Oh, chicken finger. Here we go. You want ranch?
Probably not. But most American restaurants, I mean, like you said, at a Mexican restaurant, it doesn't make any sense. But yes, they have them. We'll have something like that. But, you know, maybe not a Chinese restaurant, perhaps, but she would probably never go to a Chinese restaurant.
A lot of them have fried chicken and French fries.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I don't know why that's about.
Yeah, my sister's the same way. I know exactly what she's going to order wherever we go. It's always the same thing. Because she knows she'll almost always be okay with it. And if everything else, she's taking a risk and she doesn't want to. Yeah. So.
Well, and to be fair, the producer's sister does do some things different. When it comes to Chinese, she tends to like something with chicken and a lot of veggies and garlic sauce. She's not big into sauces, but if it's a garlic sauce, she'll go for that. And she does try things. We actually took her to an Indian restaurant one time. It did not go well, but she tried everything.
Well, that's good.
And there are a few things. She's now hooked on poncheros. Admittedly, she gets almost nothing on a burrito, but she likes poncheros now. So she's gotten better. She's the pickiest of the family, but she's gotten better. And she will try something. I could not, for love, money, or threat of violence, get her to taste a falafel.
Wonder why.
I don't know.
I mean, what's threatening about a falafel?
I don't know. It's all veggie. I'm like, holy crap.
Well, not just that, but it's, I mean, what's in it that would make someone go, oh, I'm not going to have that? Like chickpeas and...
Couldn't get her to taste it, but...
Interesting.
Okay. Next, what was that question? Oh, bread. Huh, yeah, bread.
From Kia.
So...
We should call this other Kia, Kia A, and then there's Kia B.
Oh, how do you know there's just one other Kia?
Well, because we only ever see Kia B and Kia nothing.
Yes, but how do you know that there aren't just lots of Kias that don't have a...
Well, we don't. Let's just call her Kia A. All those Kias are going to have to be Kia
They're
A
all
now.
All Kia, the Kia A collective.
That's right. That's their problem if they don't want
to. Part of the... I think we just call them the Kia collective.
To the hat! To the hat!
I was going
to
say, are they jumping off buildings?
Quickly! Boy Wonder, to the hat.
Holy questions.
Will William play Dark Tower against me? Signed, Vermont. Well, I will play Dark Tower against anyone.
And lose.
Probably lose. I'm not very good at it. I won the very first time I ever played it. And I did play it for reals with the tower and everything. And the first time I ever did it, I won. But I've not won since. And I've only played it a couple times since then. But
I was so excited at that game when we found out it was online.
Yeah.
It was really boring.
Well, and you're just playing it, you know.
I think it's the one player
aspect. Yeah, it's the one player aspect of it. But sure, I'd play Dark Tower with... it's
all right, Vermont, pick up a copy of Dark Tower. Drive over here.
I don't know about that.
I know. Somebody from work just, like, got rid of one when I was mentioning that it was online. Yeah. They're like, oh, we used to have that. We gave it to Goodwill. And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, you could have sold it. If it had all its pieces, especially, you could have sold it for a lot of money.
Somewhere, I still have the little people.
Oh, you do?
I never owned it. I think I got it from my cousin's set or whatever.
Oh, I see.
The little plastic people. Somewhere I have
those.
You
stole it?
No, I just got a lot of hand-me-downs. It was probably in some box of junk. I think because I also got crossbows and catapults from them. I think it was mixed up in that.
Well, thank you for the question. It was pretty easy to answer.
Yes, very much. That was awesome. Okay, one more question.
One more.
That's it. On this mysterious day evening, you don't even know. Look outside. It's the exact light level I would expect for this time.
Of time.
Of time. Of place. Another one from the Kia Collective.
All right.
I think Collective is spelled with a K.
Yeah, I guess
there's not even any opening to this one. Favorite anime series and why?
Oh, I don't really have one. I'm not a huge fan of anime in general.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose the anime series I've seen that I liked the best, you know, that I was interested to watch clear to the end, and that I did watch clear to the end, was Full Metal Alchemist. I thought that was pretty good.
You've watched the whole thing of that?
Okay. Well, I think so, unless something's come out that I haven't caught.
They do keep sort of adding shit to that one.
Okay, because I haven't seen, like, the film. There's, like, a film.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that, but what I did see I really liked, so that's probably my favorite then.
It's hard to say. Well, what about anime films? You've seen Miyazaki stuff.
That's true, and I liked pretty much all those things, but yeah. I don't know if I could pick a favorite. I mean, they're all good.
Spirited Away meant a lot to me.
Yeah, I'd probably prefer that over the other ones.
Well, and My Neighbor Totoro is always near and dear to my heart.
Yeah, you had a big poster in your cubicle.
I did. I can't find it right now. I want to put it up at my new work. It's somewhere in the house.
Oh, with
we found some of my old stuff. We found Bun Bun.
I don't know.
You bought him for me, I believe.
I bought you something called Bun Bun.
Bun Bun, the lop-eared rabbit with the switchblade. From Sluggy Freelance?
Do you know I did? This? I didn't buy you that.
Maybe Dan or Lisa bought it for me. He's a character in one of the webcomics that I read when I wasn't doing work at work. yeah, don't you remember?
No, I didn't buy you Bun Bun. I bought you the Strong Bad album.
You brought me the Strong Bad album.
Yeah.
Which I still have and I listen to. You bought me a little dragon on a mushroom.
Yeah.
Which is at work.
I did do that.
And you brought me my Stickfa, which I don't even know where all that is, because I kept turning it into other things. But the dragon is at my new work.
Stickfas were fun. I think.
Stickfas were worthy of a comic. Anyway. But yeah, My Neighbor Totoro is an adorable one. Howl's Moving Castle was very good.
Yeah, I like that okay, too.
Princess Mononoke was better when I saw it again. It was better than I remembered. Castle in the Sky, I was not a fan of. That's one of his older ones. Not a fan. Nausicaa of the Wind, similar, not a big fan. Well, see, a lot of my favorite anime are really filthy, dirty, terrible things that I should not talk about here.
Really, they're your favorite? I mean,
I like them.
I know, but when you think of your favorite, there's usually artistic merit, some sentimental, whatever.
Dude, sometimes there's artistic merit. To
well, I know, but okay, never mind. I don't even want to.
Let me rephrase. I'm not even saying favorites, but a large percentage of anime that I watch falls into that category, and I don't choose to put that in my rankings of favorites. Well, and it's also anime, so there's a weird, fairly large gray area. Because there's stuff that's good for kids, and there's stuff that's the filthiest stuff you've ever seen, but there's all sorts of stuff, all sorts of levels of in-between. So some of it is good, but I'm like, yeah, but it gets a little weirdly pervy in some places and stuff. I am a fan of Cowboy Bebop, and I'm actually just about to watch the whole series. Somebody lent it to me. Cowboy Bebop is some good stuff.
Well, I've got a friend who's constantly trying to get me to watch that, which I probably should one of these days, because this person has fairly good taste in these things.
Witch Hunter Robin was good, although I must say I didn't actually finish that. I sort of discovered a lot of the more horror-oriented anime. Helsing, and I watched the first few of Witchblade. I kind of stopped that.
We watched a little of Claymore for I think, and that was interesting. In fact, I'm not sure why we stopped watching it, because it was kind of interesting.
But, yeah, a lot of the ones that make it to American syndication aren't the ones I'm not into.
That's not too surprising, really.
I watched a little bit of the Dot Hack when that was on late at night. I played the video games, too, so I was kind of into that. But Miyazaki stuff is probably most of my favorites. Spirited Away, My Neighbor Totoro, Howl's Moving Castle. Those three are probably... Maybe not even Howl's. Probably Spirited Away and Totoro were my big favorites. We actually were watching Totoro in my Japanese language class. So we watched it with no dubbing and no subtitles. We weren't very good at Japanese yet, so... But you can still get a lot out of that. Okay, that's enough of that.
I guess we're done.
Yes.
So thank you, Blood Sparrow, Kia Collective, that is, Veramond, and Anonymous for your submissions.
Thank you so much.
That's a lot. This is the most we've ever had, I think, in a show. One, two, three, four, five, six.
We've had six before. I don't know if we've had more than six. Oh,
okay, six.
Yeah, thank you very much. Again, people, write in to the hat. Keep it short. Keep it fun and interesting. Make it what you want us to talk about. Don't make it something that you just think, oh, it'd be funny if I write this. Say, this is something I actually want them to talk about. And it doesn't have to be you want us to talk about because it's interesting. You could be you want us to talk about it because you think we'll be embarrassed by it and you want to see us humiliated.
Don't do those. I don't.
The point is, write about the stuff you want us to talk about because that's what this show is about. Write themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Check us out there. Also, go to Facebook. Like us. We need more likes. I need more likes. I don't feel the love yet. So like us on Facebook, The Magical Talking Hat. You can find it there. And we love you.
And if you're listening to this and I'm dead, post something on my memorial, something nice.
Yes. And in lieu of flowers, send me money. And stuff.
Yeah.
All right, we're assuming he's not dead. We'll talk to you next week. Whenever that week is.
No, the next mystery time, because if we ever play this, we're going to have to make another one. So.
Yeah, but.
Next mystery time.
Presumably we do this, and then a week later we'll do a real one.
Oh, that's true.
But next week in their world. In our world, you have no idea.
All right. I got it.
Next week there.
Got to think of it.
Yes.
Okay.
Next week for you guys, for us. Well, as you approach the speed of light, time becomes... Never mind.
And our mass becomes infinite.
Yes. Was that a fat joke? All right. Well, goodbye. And
bye.
Don't tell them it's April 31st.
Okay. Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.